Success Mat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have Eddie Johnson. EJ is going to come on today, and looking forward to visiting with Eddie Johnson, Sirius XM. He hosts a show over on Sirius I listen to every day. I am a Sirius and podcast, and that's it. No radio. Sirius and podcasts, and I'm on my phone a lot when I'm driving around. So I hear EJ's show quite a bit with Justin Termini. I don't know if they like one another. I think that's part of the shtick. But of course, Valley resident Eddie Johnson, one of the best in the business. We will visit about Oklahoma City and what happened last night. Is Steph Curry injured? Draymond Green was not good. Did they get into his head finally? And I think Billy Donovan so far has outcoached Steve Kerr. And it's easy to say that when you're up 3-1, but it's the little things. And we'll talk about that during the show as well. Watched the Diamondbacks last night. And what goes on in Pittsburgh, it is outrageous. It's outrageous that they lead the league. You can hear it in Bob Brenly's voice last night that he was pissed. You can hear it in Chip Hale's voice last night that he wasn't happy. And Bob Nightingale is going to be with us from USA Today, one of the national voices, about what went on last night. And if you missed the Diamondbacks game, it was more than just Shelby Miller being awful, and he was awful. It is other things around what's going on with the team as well. So Bob Nightingale will be with us. That comes up at 10:50. And I'm just curious, you know, where do you go from here? You've given up so much. It's not like you can turn around and do the deal over again. I think it's funny when people are like, well, we should just do this deal all over again. That is not how it works. But will there be retaliation tonight in Pittsburgh? Two guys get hit in the head, not just in the ribs, not in the butt, but in the head. So we'll get into that with Bob Nightingale. Larry Fitzgerald, we'll hear from him in this show about his future. It seems as though wherever Larry Fitzgerald shows up in this day and age, Eric, you were out there yesterday with the Cardinals. Am I wrong on this, or is it wherever, whenever Larry Fitzgerald does something in public, he is immediately asked, are you going to play any longer? Like, today is the day that I am going to retire. Right here, right now. This is it. Throw dirt on me. Does it feel like that's how it is every day with Fitz?
It does, especially this offseason, because he has been, for lack of a better term, dare I say, overexposed. I mean, he has been so public. He has been doing so many great things in the community. But yes, it is the same question he is asked by news reporters, sports reporters, magazine reporters, entertainment reporters. Is this your last year? Are you going to retire? And as you know, Fitz is very good in figuring out how to figure out the media. And he gave the same answer yesterday that he gave last week, that he gave the week before, that he gave the week before that. So nothing has changed.
You know he's going to give that story whenever it happens to, like, I don't know, Chris Mortensen, if he comes back from his cancer, Mike Silver, he's going to give it to somebody national, Peter. That's how, when guys are at that level, like when Peyton Manning decided he was done, he gave it to Chris Mortensen. He didn't give it to one of the beat writers in Denver. The guys that are at that level, there's a strategy to the retirement. They want to gain as much notoriety as possible. So they're not going to, in all likelihood, we don't see local guys. There was this big story yesterday in Buffalo about how the Bills are changing their media standards. Most of you don't care about that. You just want to see if they win or lose. And sound bites of saying, we think it's going to be a tough game this week and all that stuff, don't mean anything anymore. The day of really getting, in my opinion, meaningful stuff out of certain pro franchises. I don't mean just the Cardinals. I mean the NFL in general. That went by the wayside a long time ago.
And I could see him, Brad, doing something like penning an article in the Players Tribune or something like that.
Absolutely.
That seems like the way Fitz would handle his own announcement.
Sure, sure. So is this going to be his last year and all that stuff? I mean, it makes for a great copy. It makes for shows that you could do over and over and over. And I'm going to put a little bit of time into this today because I've let this go for the most part here in the off season. Because he's been out there. He's been at a lot of things. We've been at a lot of things that Larry has been at. And I just find it after a while to be mind numbing to think that, well, this is the day he's going to tell me, yeah, I'm retiring and this is when it's going to come. So, but you never know. I thought the Pac-12 had an interesting day yesterday. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. The start time of football games. Look, if a team is good, for the Pac-12 to have to sit and debate start times of games, it's important because they're just getting crushed when it comes to national view and perception of the conference. When you've got football games ending at 10:45, or actually, Eric, what's the latest you and Jared? I've never stayed since we started this company. I've never stayed to the end of an ASU home game. Well, I'm on the road. Of course, you have to stay. I remember, I think it was Oregon State. I left the press box like, I don't know, 1 o'clock in the morning. It was something just absurd. Because you know nobody's watching.
I left the press box in San Diego after the Holiday Bowl at 2:45 a.m. simply because the game did not start until I think around 8:40. And that was the Texas Tech-Arizona State game where there was like 2,000 total yards and 15 touchdowns or something ridiculous, and the game just took forever.
So, look, if the team is good, it's the old adage, and it's very true. If the team is good, then it doesn't matter how hot it is. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter how much it costs to park. It doesn't matter. But when the team stinks or the team is mediocre, the team is borderline irrelevant, then the cheerleaders are out of step and they're out of shape. The beer is flat and it's way expensive. It sucks to park. It's just a hassle to get down there. I don't want to go. It's amazing when you win how everything else just goes by the wayside. Now, we are in a different environment out here in Arizona. I will acknowledge that when it's games in September. But there's really not much room for debate. I go back to that Oregon State game a couple of years ago in October, or even the Washington game. 2 years ago, I'm in Washington, and there's a storm that blew through. And the game didn't end till it was after 11 o'clock, and which is 2 o'clock on the East Coast. There's not a chance, not a chance that you're going to have an audience watching that. And so the conference had to sit there and debate it. And this goes back to my point of if you're in the Big 12 and you're playing 1:30 in the afternoon, and if you have a better television contract than where the Pac-12 is heading, I'm not saying it's going to happen today, but some people much smarter than I will ever be have acknowledged you are correct. And it is something when the next TV deals come up that these universities will start looking closer at their own situations. So that caught my eye yesterday. So some ASU games and U of A games may start earlier. But this should not be something that is debated back and forth unless it's just a business where they're getting crushed in terms of ratings. In terms of court storming, so court storming is going to be talked about. I believe Sean Miller, Eric, today it's 1 o'clock, if I remember right. It's he's doing his thing today at 1, and he's been right in the middle of the court storming controversy. And they're going to start fining universities for fans storming the court. Now, ASU fans don't want to hear this, but here's the facts on this in basketball through the years. There's a reason why it happens around Sean Miller and the U of A. It's because they're one of the best around. And so if you're ASU and you're able to beat them at home, of course you're going to storm the court. Well, now Ray Anderson's got to pay money out of his pocket to prevent court storming. Somebody will get hurt. This isn't old guy get off my lawn. Go Google the name Joe Kay. Go Google it and go see what happened to Joe Kay as a high school kid when they stormed the court, a little volleyball match, and what happened to the rest of his life in Tucson. Just go Google it. It's a fascinating story. Court storming is something that looks good, sounds good, feels good until somebody gets hurt or until you have idiots that want to get in the face and try to pick fights and all that stuff. And there's always that guy. Alcohol plus college kids winning over a team that they never beat equals a mess. That's that. The third part of this was the esports thing. So if you didn't hear yesterday, the Pac-12 had all these announcements, start times of football games, storming the court, we're going to have fines. And they had this little itty bitty line way down at the end, which of course to me was the most interesting of all. That the presidents and the Pac-12 network have decided that they're going to make esports a competition. They're going to put it on the Pac-12 network. And I sent a text over to Eric and Jared, and of course they're rolling their eyes because I really see esports. We made fun of ASU. Who was it? It was Arizona State and Cal.
I believe so.
It's like a year and a half ago, right? And we were, I remember one night we were all of us were just kind of sitting around our houses. We start tweeting and texting. Can you believe this crapola that's on, I think it was on ESPN, and it was guys gaming against each other.
Yeah, it was a Sunday night on ESPN in the summer.
Yeah. I mean, a dead period of time. But it obviously was something. And look, that's broadcast. There are periods where you will try stuff out on the air to see if there's a number. There's people that I put on this show explicitly to audition them, and they don't know it. Specifically to do that, I will put them on the air. In the back of my mind, it's, is this person a fit? Is this person a fit? Could this person do something? Or is this person someone in a couple of years I'm going to circle back around to and say, you know, I think you've gotten better. Calais Campbell would be case point number one. When we first started this show 4 years ago, we had Calais on a weekly basis, and he wasn't very good. All he needed was reps. We Skype Calais in. Those of you who have been watching us through the years, we'd Skype Calais in, and he was just figuring it out, but he just needed a chance. Very few people put on a headset, especially athletes. Very, very few of them put on a headset when they're done playing and it comes easy. Very few of them do. They need reps. And now you see Calais these years later, and he's doing fine. He's doing great. And so that's the same thing with television networks. They will go put stuff on the air and say, does this draw a rating? Does this draw a crowd? Well, that night, that esports gaming thing drew a rating point, which they could go sell, brought in a young demo, which everybody in this day and age wants. And I don't know, if you're a gamer, if you're watching us in a college dorm, you're into gaming. You love gaming. You know gaming. Three of my four kids in college, out of college now, told them this story yesterday. A couple of my kids said, this is my kids, my friends are all into gaming. They're more into gaming, Dad, than they are into the sports themselves. They're more into FIFA and playing NBA 2K and all these other games than they're into watching the game itself. You can be old guy, get off my lawn, that this will never work. Nobody will ever care about this, and I will never watch. And that may be true. But when you have kids and you have an 18-year-old and a 20-year-old and a 22 and a 20, and they see that this is what kids want, and you're talking about engineers that do gaming, and they're going to take a full scholarship. Laugh all you want. It's the same thing with drone racing. Drone racing and gaming are two things that networks are chasing, and chasing it as quickly as they can. The days of talking about balls and strikes or NBA in February where the guys are barely playing hard. Do you watch the NBA now versus what they throw out there in January and December? They got a problem. They do. So it's very forward thinking by the Pac-12. And yeah, I'll have some fun with this. I wrote about it yesterday. It'll be great to have a guy like Jason Jewell or Chris Cartman start analyzing the top 10 gamers in the East Valley that have a left hand that can play this game better than the other. It'll be funny to have a kid sit in front of a student body at his high school with a hat for Cal, ASU, and Washington in front of him. He's going to put the hat on because he's an expert gamer. It'll be great to have somebody come along and throw a boatload of money. And in all seriousness, some of these athletes that are so competitive, they'd rather be gamers than athletes on the field or on the court, guys and girls. They have more fun doing that. The Buffalo Bills general manager we talked about yesterday of his poor choice of words, football is not meant to be played by humans. He weighed in this morning and is expected his response. We'll have that for you. Larry Fitzgerald, we'll hear from him. Eddie Johnson in about 15 minutes. And it's in Bob Nightingale as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. Eddie Johnson is going to be with us here in about 10 minutes, Sirius XM. And, of course, Suns analysts will talk about the playoffs last night. Saw where the Chicago Sun-Times is reporting. Joakim Noah is telling his teammates that he will not be back. I would take Noah... probably, I don't know, 2-3 years ago. There's some grit that's needed here. You have this Tyson Chandler contract, though, that's like this, I don't know, 10,000-pound anvil around the Suns' necks. They can't do much with him. But Joakim Noah, there's a name that'll be out there. Also, Bob Nightingale at 10:50 on a couple of beanings from the Diamondbacks game yesterday. As I watched the game, and I'll get into this with Bob, you were waiting to just see a retaliation by the Diamondbacks, and there was not a retaliation last night. And you could very easily go into the what's Chip Hale and his staff thinking. It was a 12-1 game. It was in the eighth inning. They brought Randall Delgado in, and they had someone warming up in the bullpen. And so you're thinking, okay, this is where he's going to just plunk him and then walk off the mound, kind of like the Rangers game last week. And nothing happened. Will there be warnings this afternoon in Pittsburgh? Ruby De La Rosa is on the mound. The Pirates are the same team that broke Goldschmidt's hand. And then you take Gene Segura down in the head last night and Nick Ahmed in the chin, drilling them both. The Pirates lead the league in hit batsmen. So all this adds up to, at some point, guys on the coaching staff of the Diamondbacks, and guys like Mark Grace and Matt Williams aren't going to sit here and take any bleep, I wouldn't think. And it's got to be Chip Hale's call. And it may be a year from now, too. I don't know when it's going to be. But the brawl that is going to happen at some point, it doesn't necessarily have to happen tonight. But if there's no retaliation tonight, are you not sending a message to the rest of the team that, you know, this is what we need? As a manager, Chip Hale tonight, does he have to do something? We'll talk with Bob Nightingale about that coming up at 10:50. Larry Fitzgerald yesterday at OTA. So let's get into this a little bit. And this story really isn't that complicated, I don't believe. It's May 24th on a Tuesday morning, and Larry Fitzgerald is meeting with the media. This was Fitz talking about his future and all of that.
Well, I mean, it's kind of been a roller coaster. I've seen it really, really down, and then we went up, and then it was down, and then it's up again. So, I mean, that's sports, but, you know, most guys don't ever get the chance to see, you know, that kind of change. Most guys get run out of town before that, but I've been very fortunate. You know, it's been a two-way street. I've wanted to be here, and Michael Bidwell has wanted me to be here. So, I mean, that's something in sports that you don't see happen too often.
Okay, I've been here. I've been, meaning past tense. Michael Bidwell's wanted me, past tense, to be here. I still want to be here. I want to be here after this season is what everybody's hoping with bated breath he breathes into a microphone. But there's the business side of this with the Cardinals, and what do? They've been very smart, in my opinion, in shedding the image, and it was very fair years and years and years ago, but it's not fair now to say that the organization is cheap and doesn't take care of their players. There's former players that they've reached out to. They just had a bad rep back in the 90s. They did. And anybody who said that they didn't, and even in a certain extent in the 2000s, anybody who says that they didn't is just kidding themselves. Doesn't matter if you're a former player, former employee, it was not a good environment. It is now one of the best environments from what I hear. I'm not in the locker room. I'm not in their building every day. I hear from people that are there and just around town, people that do business with the Cardinals, that it is a completely different deal there. It is night and day, and good for them. But these are the tough decisions that you have to make. I still look at Larry Fitzgerald, and I'll give you the example of Steve Nash. Steve Nash was not happy with me at all at the end, because the last couple of years, it was evident that the only reason why Steve was still here was because he was Steve Nash and he could put people in the seats. In fact, I had people in the Suns that said, we've been told in meetings, we cannot lose the lower bowl, and we will lose the lower bowl, meaning season ticket holders, if we do not have Steve Nash here anymore. So the business decision was, even though Steve can't play, we are going to keep Steve Nash here. Now, we all love Steve Nash. Could he make a positive influence on a guy like Goran Dragic? Could he make a positive influence on other players coming along? We heard the whole narrative about Steve and Grant and how they would help other players. I think there was something to that. But at the end of the day, if you want to win and you want to keep winning, you've got to make really hard decisions, decisions that aren't popular. And you can't get wound up over what's written in the paper or what is online or what a poll says. If all you're doing is reacting to what is online in this day and age, you should just get out of whatever it is you're doing. If there's a poll that says the Suns 98%, I'm going to cancel my season tickets if Steve Nash leaves, the Suns get rid of him, and the Suns say, oh my gosh, this polling says, there's a place for polls. Really smart guy, Elliot Pollock, who does lots of polls here in the Valley. And when I was at KTAR and even at Channel 3, if an Elliot Pollock poll came out, it was legit. It wasn't baked. And it was something that you take into account as one piece of the information. biggest thing on Steve was he had just slowed down. It was really hard to watch him play. And the Suns, they will say, well, we managed to get a good price for him. I would say you've been in this ditch for a long time, and you probably could have got more for him. Not probably, you would have got more for him 2 years earlier if you'd parted ways with him. Okay, that takes us over to Fitz. If we remember our history well on Fitz, what was it? 2 years ago, everybody was throwing dirt on Larry. I mean, everybody. He is done. He is finished.
He's too slow.
Oh, yeah.
He can't play in the even slot.
Can't block. And so the whole thing on Fitz was the public perception and even some national media. Oh, he's going to end up in New England. The Patriots are going to do this. And then when he signed with the Cardinals, wow, this contract. Well, I don't know. What are we going to do here with this number? Well, there was the work ethic you had to take into account, the body. And I'm not questioning Steve Nash's work ethic, but his body was being abused in a way that was much different on the court than what Larry Fitzgerald went through. Larry's never been one to take lots of hits. Steve had had back problems. Steve had problems with his body. So I don't imagine that that the Cardinals are ones that are going to do focus groups and circle around the table. This has got to be Larry Fitzgerald and Steve Keim and Michael Bidwell, and that's about it. I mean, that's really about it. And if they announce that Larry Fitzgerald has signed an extension based on what we saw as body of work last year, we can totally get it. Like at the end for Adrian Wilson, as proud of a man as Adrian was, he wasn't the same player. His position, he had a lot of hits on that body. He was still a warrior, still played very hard. No player likes to be told you're done, you're finished, especially from guys like me with microphones and headsets on. Tape spoke for itself. Tape spoke for itself. So I can sit here today and very easily say to you, yeah, Larry should come back and play as a fan, but I got to look at it from a business standpoint, because you cannot have a guy at any position just hanging on for dear life and have a roster spot if he's not near the player that he once was. As much as everybody wanted to have Kurt come back and play at quarterback, and Kurt himself wanted to come back and play, I'm sure Larry will have the same sort of ideas. He'd like to come back and do it. When Larry Fitzgerald's done, can very easily see him just going off the grid for a year or two, coming up for air, and then coming back and working for the Cardinals in some capacity in their front office. I could see that. I could see him being in the broadcast world very easily. He could go into a booth and do well at it. But he's not going to tell you on May 24th that I'm done or I'm coming back for another season. I just don't see it. Now in training camp, as training camp gets started, we get into August. How are you feeling? How are things going? What do you think? I could see him having that conversation at that point in time. He's not going to say he's done, but I think he'd open the door to say, you know, by week four of training camp, I could do this for another year. That wouldn't surprise me. Eddie Johnson is next, SiriusXM Basketball. It's always good to catch up with EJ, SiriusXM NBA Radio, on Steph Curry. Is he injured? Draymond Green, not good. Has Billy Donovan outcoached Steve Kerr? What do you think the Suns should do with their fourth pick, and much more? That's next with Eddie Johnson. Then Bob Nightingale on the two beanings in the Diamondback game last night. Ajit Segura, Nick Ahmed. What do they do with Shelby Miller? Good half hour straight ahead.
Waiters with the crowd on his feet. 10 to shoot. Time in the dribble 30. Powers to the foul line. Lobs corner left Westbrook. Pump faking. Fires a three ball under duress and drills it. Cha-ching, a Thunder money ball. Maybe finishing touches, baby, in game four. Timeout Warriors.
And there's Matt Pinto from the Thunder Radio Network as OKC wins 118-94. Brad Sussmat, Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I mentioned off the top that I am a serious XM guy, and I'm a podcast guy, and I'm on my phone a lot. I don't listen to radio at all anymore. It's just how the world has changed. And I hear Eddie Johnson in the afternoon with Justin Termini on SiriusXM. And if you've not heard them, I don't think they like one another. They fight all the time. And you can listen to them on Sirius in the afternoon. And of course, on Twitter at JumpShot8, the Suns analyst, and I'd say a good friend, Eddie Johnson. How are you?
Man, I am doing tremendous. This is the best May weather-wise that we have had here in probably the last 25 years. And so, Brad, I'm enjoying my May.
Are you enjoying your clubs in the afternoon after your show and before the games, or is it in the morning that you take the sticks?
In the morning. In the morning, I try to get my golf in. I normally play with the great wide receiver, Roy Green, obviously. Yeah. Arizona Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals, and the great Truck Robinson, obviously, tremendous Phoenix Suns player, and as well just as a great NBA player throughout his career. So I go out and play with them in the morning, and then I get back, and as you said, I prepare for my radio show at Sirius XM, NBA Radio. And, man, I'm telling you, I'm having a great time. I mean, to me, I have the two best jobs you can ever have. Obviously calling Phoenix Suns games, and then being able to talk about NBA basketball for 3 hours every day on NBA radio. So I'm excited.
Yeah, with somebody that you don't like, Justin, do you? You guys just tolerate each other? You fight?
No, we don't like each other. You know what it is, Brad? He's a 35-year-old historian of the game of basketball, and I respect him totally for that. He understands what has happened from a historical place when it comes to basketball. But he has no idea about what goes on within the game. And he always tries to get over into my lane in regards to that. And I just have to hold him back. And so, yeah, we call each other a lot of names. I mean, if people recorded the stuff that we say to each other when we're off the air, then they would definitely know.
All right. So drop some knowledge on me then, because I want to get over to your lane and make you tell me, what do you see out of Steph Curry? Is he injured? Are we seeing a Steph Curry that is 70 or 80% for the Warriors?
You know, a lot of years in my career, man, I had to play with Knicks and Bruce. You know, if you're not playing in the playoffs, if you're playing in the playoffs right now, something's wrong with your body. And historically, people always wanted to make excuses. Not saying you're making an excuse, but a lot of people wanted to make excuses for stars when they don't play well. But when role players don't play well, they're just not getting it done.
Yeah.
I was a role player. I don't buy into that. You know, I'm not going to make an excuse for Steph Curry, just like I didn't make an excuse for Kyle Lowry, who they were saying his elbow was hurting. And I said, I'm not buying it. The man's just shooting bricks. When I'm seeing him doing arm bars and when he's celebrating with teammates, if your elbow is hurting, no way you would do that. So, you know, superstars have a way of having their built-in excuse in there without even saying they're hurt. And I'm not saying Steph Curry is doing it. But, you know, obviously he's had some issues. But guess what? When he came back from his knee and he lit up the Portland Trail Blazers for about, 40 off the bench, and then he lit up OKC in game two, now when you struggle, you can't tell me you're hurting. You know, just tell me that guys are D-ing you up, that Russell Westbrook is a tornado. And no pun intended, because obviously they play in Oklahoma City where they have tornadoes basically every week. Sure. But he is a human tornado, and he's a tornado that Steph Curry is having a serious issue with, and he's gotten the best of.
Okay, the series shows 3-1 OKC, so the easy answer on this one is, of course, Billy Donovan is out coaching Steve Kerr. But in terms of coaches in this series, wins and losses aside, the chess match, are you seeing Donovan get the best of Steve Kerr?
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. He's abusing him right now. And you know, and look, that's no slight on Steve Kerr. You know, I think Steve Kerr has done a tremendous job with this team. He is definitely a leader of men in the way that he approaches. I didn't agree that he should win Coach of the Year. When you're coaching only 30-plus games, how could you win Coach of the Year? I still have an issue with that. But, you know, he's done a tremendous job with this team. And, you know, Mark Jackson started that process a few years before him. But he is not right now making the necessary adjustments at a faster pace to get them a victory. And that's the issue right now. And he is being exposed for that. You know, and he's got to find a way. They're not out of this series. I mean, they have two of the next three games at home. So they still have a chance, but as we see right now, you just can't think that they're going to win a game because Oklahoma City is just taking everything away from them.
Yeah, well, I mean, Westbrook, Eddie, is shown to be a different player than what we've seen at any position. I think Charles mentioned Derrick Rose last night. know in your show you guys have talked about it. We're seeing Westbrook, and I think it plays into Durant re-signing at OKC myself. I can't see Durant wanting to break this up this year, you know? So let's just talk about Westbrook. What do you see out of him? And then those two together.
Look, I've never seen anybody like Russell Westbrook. I've always said this. He plays harder than anybody I've probably ever seen play in the NBA. And I've seen a lot of guys. I'm serious. He has a relentless nature about him that I don't know where it comes from. I mean, he doesn't like anybody on the court. And I grew up that way. I never had friends on the court. And this guy takes it to a different level. I mean, he plays with a ferociousness that just is just second to none. And I think it's quite frankly intimidating for a lot of guys. Now, I'm not going to say Steph Curry is intimidated, but Russell Westbrook is definitely on his mind because he has basically taken him out of the series. He's dominated him. It hasn't even been close. Steph Curry's had one good half, one good quarter, really, third quarter game two. Other than that, Russell Westbrook has dominated him, not just beating him by a nose. I'm not talking about a horse race where he gets him right there at the finish line. No, no. He is beating him by 15 lengths, okay? Dominating him. And I think Russell Westbrook said it before the series. He said, in response to Steph Curry, when they were talking about his shooting and everything, and Russell Westbrook said, he doesn't do anything I haven't seen before.
Yeah.
And some people said, whoa. I guess what? I guess Russell Westbrook was correct. You know, Steph Curry has to guard on the other end. They're attacking him whoever he guards. They can't hide him. And I've always felt that when going at Golden State. I just wondered why coaches never did it. It just made me, it just boggled my mind to think that they didn't, to think that teams didn't knock Curry on his behind. And I'm not saying hurt Steph Curry. I love Steph Curry. I've been knowing the kid since he's 7 years old. We're just talking about basketball. People knock me on my behind. Okay? I was just wondering when that was going to happen. Well, it's happening now. And the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're very physical with him. They're going at him on the defensive end. And I think it's taxing him. I do. And I think it's taking some of his confidence away, and that's why he struggled.
Eddie Johnson with us. Of course, you can hear him on SiriusXM in the afternoons, NBA Radio. And he's on Twitter at JumpShot8 with Brad Sussmat. Before I let you go, switch over to the Suns. Fourth pick, 13th pick, logjam at guard. If you're GM, would you be open to trading any of your guards, even Bledsoe, to try with his knee injuries and all that? Would you be open to moving any of your guards other than Booker, okay? We know Booker's not going anywhere. But in Knight and Bledsoe, would you consider it, EJ?
I wouldn't trade Eric Bledsoe. I just wouldn't.
Two knee injuries last 3 years, Jay.
Yeah, I know. I understand that part of it. But guess what? Steph Curry was hurt a lot of years, too. And he finally got over it. You know, I think what we're seeing here, and I've always said this, I think players come into the league too soon. I'd love for them to raise the age limit to 21 years old. Then we wouldn't have these injuries that we have to young players. Even though it looks like their body is ready to play in the NBA, Brad, quite frankly, it's not.
Got it.
Still growing. You're still growing when you're 19. I mean, my knees used to burn every day when I was 19 years old. No way that I was ready to play at this level. But these guys are forced to come in and play at this level because they decided to leave. Look at Anthony Davis. I mean, he can't stay healthy. We were talking about him as a possible MVP this year. He can't even play. He can't even stay on the floor. I mean, every game he's going to the locker room for something. And I think it's because his body, although looks like it could be ready for the league, was not ready for the league. Look at Greg Oden. Greg Oden was a man child. Look what happened to him. Couldn't even finish 2 years. So, you know, for me, Eric Bledsoe, I believe, is going to get past these problems. And I looked at him last year, and I saw a different player. You know, my biggest negative with him, and I let him know it. I said, man, as a point guard, you got to smile. You got to let your teammates know it's okay that they made a mistake. You got to reward them when they do something well. You can't just always chastise them and not reward them. And every time I saw him for a period of about a month, every time I look at him, I say, smile. You know, and he has the most beautiful smile you ever want to see. But he doesn't show it. And a point guard has to show it. And he started to do that last year. He started to be a leader. you know, he started to pay attention to his teammates. He started to support his teammates. And so for me, it tells me he's mature. And so, you know, I think the kid is going to be unreal. I think if he stays healthy, he's going to be an all-star. I truly believe it. And Booker's going to be one with him. So those two guys right there, I feel, can play together, can have success together. And so obviously if you're the Suns, you know, when you don't make the playoffs, then every position is at need. That's how I look at it, you know. And so obviously big bodies are a need, but big bodies that have a skill level. And so I'm sure that's what the Suns will look at because they do have a lot of guards. And then, you know, let's face it, Brandon Knight, he's in a flux right now. You know, I know he made a statement that he don't think his role is going to change. But I think as he sits back this summer and he looks at this roster, he looks at what the Suns do in the offseason, and he looks at who they pick up as free agents. If he wants to win, he has to understand you have to adjust to any role. Trust me, I started 400-plus games before my coach came to me and told me, Eddie, I want you to come off the bench. It wasn't easy for him to win me over. Yeah, I cursed him out, called him a few names, and on top of that, probably want to smack him upside his head. But eventually, I did. I went to the bench, and guess what? It probably got me another 6-7 years in the NBA. So that's what Knight has to look at. I think he would be tremendous as a sixth man. With he and possibly maybe DJ Tucker coming off the bench, Teletovic, are you kidding me? I mean, that right there shows playoff team all around if guys could just acquiesce like those State Warriors have done the last 2 years.
I'll let you go off that. As always, I appreciate your time. Good stuff, EJ. Let's stay in touch.
My pleasure, sir.
Stay well. There's Eddie Johnson. Always good to catch up with EJ. SiriusXM NBA Radio at Jump Shot 8. Could have gone forever and ever with him, but we have Bob Nightingale on the other side about the Diamondbacks. I want to get to that. Two beanings in the game yesterday, Gene Segura and Nick Ahmed. What's going on with Shelby Miller? What do they do here in Arizona? That's next. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist Bob Nightingale, MLB Network Insider as well, comes up next. Sports 360 AZ. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Tonight, of course, it's Toronto and the Cavaliers, and I'm more interested in the Diamondbacks game. So I just don't care about watching Toronto and Cleveland. That's just the way it is. But I watched the Diamondbacks game last night and saw Segura get hit in the head and saw Ahmed get drilled. Bob Brenly tells me something, as he always does in the analyst chair, that the Pirates lead the league in hit batsmen. Of course, I thought back to the Goldschmidt hit. And I'm thinking something's got to happen here. Nothing did last night. Will something happen tonight? Will there be warnings tonight? Bob Brenly speculated that may, in fact, be the case with the Pirates and Diamondbacks. And then Shelby Miller was just awful. There's no other way to put it. 6 runs in 5 innings. His earned run average is north of 7. Had a huge step backwards. They gave up a ton to get him. I don't know what they're going to do here with him. And for all the answers on that, I'm sure Bob Nightingale has them. USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist, MLB Network insider. Hi, Bob. How are you?
Doing great. By yourself?
I'd be fine if the baseball team weren't one of the biggest disappointments in the season, because I think that they are. Did you see what went down last night in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I saw replays of it. Yeah, and no, that's right. I mean, the Pirates do always lead the league in the hit batsmen. They teach their guys to hit inside. And I can see why Chip Hale and guys are frustrated, and I do agree with what he's saying. It's fine to pitch inside. You know, if you want to hit someone, hit them low. If you can't pitch upstairs and control that, you have no business throwing high and tight if you don't have the ability to control that pitch.
This always goes back to retaliation, and we've seen it change through the years. What needs to happen from the league's office? Can they let players police the game like they used to, Bob? Would this already be behind us? What do you think takes place here?
Well, yeah, I agree with that. I think they let the players police the game, and that's always the way it's been. And, fully expect the Diamondbacks to retaliate. And that's the beauty of the National League, is that the pitchers get to bat and everything else, or, you know, even not, you can, you know, throw out one of their better players, and then let the umpire go ahead and issue warnings in. But that's the way it always works in baseball. And, you know, there's really no problems with it until recently.
I mean, a warning tonight to both benches does exactly what? at this point. What does it do?
Well, it's not right. I mean, yeah, they should let, really, the way it's supposed to be, it's supposed to let the Diamondbacks have a free shot. And so, okay, and if they determine that was a pitcher on purpose, then you do the warnings. But if I'm Chip Hill and Diamondbacks, I would go ballistic if there's a warning issue before the game starts.
Yeah, so I'll be watching that. I'm sure you will as well. Shelby Miller, has there been a bigger disappointment across all of Major League Baseball, given the price tag the Diamondbacks gave up to get him in this season, 7 weeks in?
No, there hasn't been. And that was the fear. I think that if there's a chance for a guy to be a bust of the year, it would be Miller. Just in the sense where, yeah, we know he has a lot of talent, but the bottom line is he was still 6-17 last year. Yeah, I know he's in a bad team and stuff, but it wasn't like he was 6-6 and 30 no decisions, or something crazy. It was just a lot of losses. Sometimes you pitch good enough to lose. That being said, they studied him, though. Figured going to a winning environment will only help. And maybe it will. I know a lot of times when a free agent switches teams, that first year usually is a nightmare because the guy puts so much pressure on himself. And I think in this case, he's putting so much pressure on himself because he realizes how much the Diamondbacks gave up to get him.
And is that what you're hearing internally? Is that what your view is? That's what scouts are saying. It's all pressure, that this is all collected. This could all be fixed just through time.
Yeah. It's not like the velocity is down or, the stuff isn't sharp. It's just that he tends to lose it right away. And when he does, it just kind of steamrolls. He can't get it back. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see a sports psychologist or something, work with him, something like that, just to help ease him. I mean, that's very common in baseball and all sports. But yeah, he has too much talent just to unravel once things go bad.
Talking with Bob Nightingale, USA Today, Major League Baseball columnist, MLB Network insider. What goes on here in Arizona? I mean, Greinke's pitched better. Miller, we talked about. I think Corbin has been better. De La Rosa throws tonight's been better. Does this thing correct itself, or do you see the Diamondbacks already teetering this season in the National League West, Bob?
Well, I think they're certainly teetering. And, start with Pollock. That was a huge, massive blow to lose a guy like that. They could have moved him in the Miller trade and didn't. That's unfortunate, was to the club. So, it's still early. They can still get things going. Goldschmidt will start hitting. That's the least of their problems. But you got to keep an eye on the Giants. I think that's the one team that can be scary. I don't think the Dodgers are going to run off and win 95 games or anything like that. But I think the Giants are the one team that can do some special things.
Good stuff as always. Appreciate your time. Thanks, Bob.
Sure, my pleasure. Thanks, Brad.
See ya. Major League Baseball columnist Bob Nightingale, USA Today, MLB Network insider. Good to catch up with him for a few minutes. So tonight, Diamondbacks and Pirates. Tonight, we have Toronto and the Cavaliers. The NHL playoffs, I'll save this for another day. There's some funny stuff involving the Pittsburgh Penguins and their broadcasters. I want to bring you guys because it's just funny. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you appreciate some good old fashioned guys behind the microphone screwing around the way it should be, and have a good time with that. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. There's plenty of content up on our website right now that's Arizona centric. Things on the high school, college, pro end. We don't have anything that would say we got to do this, got to do that. We just go out and tell stories, different types of content that are up there around Arizona, and then on a national view as well. Thanks for being with us.